Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Friday to you. Absolutely love today because I love the way this show sets up. Come and get some. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. And the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I love the way it sets up because I've got three interviews. I've got Alvy's Week That Was. I've got an ATP. And I've got an open phone first hour. Take advantage of it. Why don't you do it? Have yourself a nice day. Have a great first hour. 1-800-636-8686. All right, then. Start dialing. You can hit me up on the phones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And I read your emails every single day. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The show sets up like this. Good day. Deion Jones, linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons, starting off hour number two. Got the ace, Justin Verlander, making his first appearance in the jungle in a long time. I'm hyped up on that. Astros ace Justin Verlander coming up in the second hour. In hour number three, A's first baseman Matt Olson. So obviously a lot of football, good college football matchups. We have a game last night in the NFL, which I will get into momentarily. There's some good matchups this weekend. And I've got some baseball, Justin Verlander, Matt Olson, and lots of time for you. Use the phones, hit us up. Let's start with some NFL. Why don't we have a talk about Thursday night football? In fact, why don't we not just have a talk? Why don't we have the talk? Time for the hard truth. Time for some actual straight fire about Thursday night football. Thursday night football is not good. In fact, Thursday night football is bad. Really bad. Consistently bad. Saying something sucks is not a take. You know this. But Thursday night football sucks. Thursday night football is a trap. Not a trap game for the players. A full-blown trap door for everybody involved. Like last week's game, Tampa Bay, Carolina. That was rough. Truly rough. But then you get to Friday, right? And I bet you're a lot like me. You have a terrible game on Thursday night, but you wake up on Friday, you start to recover. You've got college games on Saturday. You've got a full slate of the NFL on Sunday. Then you've got a Monday night game. And then what happens? There's no Tuesday game. There's no Wednesday game. By the time Thursday rolls around, you've gone so long without football, you actually convince yourself that Thursday night football is a good thing. By then, you're jonesing so hard, you've already forgotten about the tragedy that happened the week before. You haven't had any actual football in a few days. Some of you haven't actually gotten down in a few days. So you're gearing up for the weekend, and you conveniently forget how crappy Thursday nights are. And you convince yourself, not only is it not one of the worst things ever, it's actually one of the best. Like, hell yeah, free football. Bring it. Freaking Christmas in September. I can't believe how lucky I am. I've got bonus football Thursday night. Let's get it. Oh, and by the way, it's a pretty nice matchup, right? Tennessee, Jacksonville, the Titans, they're actually good. They knocked America's team the hell out in the opener. The Jags have a lot of drama surrounding them. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a blast. And then like that, you're hooked all over again. You've already forgotten how much you hate Thursday nights. You have forgotten completely how crappy Thursday night football is. You're locked, you're loaded, you're ready. You've forgotten until they kick. And then you're locked, all right. You're locked into a game that is totally unwatchable. Virtually everything about that game is brutal. And is it just me or does it rain every Thursday night? And only where they play that game. Nowhere else in the country, but only where they play the Thursday night game. The conditions are always a mess. The game is always even worse than the elements. And that's what happened last night. Thursday night football is so bad, even Gardner Minshew could not save it. Hey, don't get me wrong. He tried his ass off. Beowulf just needs to show up at the stadium, and then magic is going to happen.
Under center is Minshew. Play fake. Looking. Goes toward the end zone. There's James O'Shaughnessy. Touchdown! A 7-yard touchdown pass from Minshew to O'Shaughnessy, and Jacksonville strikes first on a Thursday night.
Jacksonville Radio Network. All right, so he makes a play right there, but we're not talking about a guy who's just going to dink and dunk his way down the field. My man's got a little gambler in him now. Because like the man says, quote, sometimes you've got to have a little bit of screw it.
Play fake. Gardner drops the throw. Fires deep. Right side. That ball is caught by D.D. Westbrook.
How about the big time throw?
What a throw as well. Magnificent throw to a 28-yard gain.
Big time throw from a guy who's already playing some big time ball. And then there is this. Third and nine.
Shotgun, two left, one right for Gardner Minshew. He drops the throw, four-man rush. Fires toward the end zone. Once D.D. Chark in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Chark attack. And Jacksonville has extended the lead.
Just dropping it right in there. 13 of 18, 125, two TDs in the first half. And he becomes the first rookie in Jags history to pass for at least 600 yards in his first 3 weeks. And Beowulf Minshew was not the only Minshew trying to keep the entire nation entertained last night. His dad, Flint, was putting on a show of his own. A gun show. Flint Minshew is amazing. I want a Flint cam that just stays locked in on this guy at all times. Give me picture in picture. Let's see this guy living and dying with every single play. Because it is electric. He is electric. That family is electric. And here we go again. Like I'm practically talking myself into loving Thursday Night Football all over again. I'm thinking about Beowulf and Flint. I'm thinking about Duval. I'm thinking about Saxonville. And I'm thinking about my main man, my guy, Calais Campbell, abusing opposing QBs. And suddenly I'm feeling it all over again. It's good. It's going to be a good night. And then I remember Tennessee's offense. Then I remember Tennessee's Matador offensive line. Then I remember all the flags. Marcus Mariota completed more than half his passes for more than 300 yards. And if that's not a case of stats being deceiving, I don't know what is. Because that was not an efficient or good-looking offense at all. He was pressured 18 times by a D-line that didn't get any pressure on anybody for 2 weeks. Pressured 18 times, sacked 9, and the offense had one penalty after another. They were such a mess that on one play, my man got sacked by his own teammate.
Mariota steps up. Mariota tripped. The sacks keep piling up. He tripped on Jack Conklin, his right tackle, and Jacksonville will get credit for yet another sack. That is 8 on the night for the Jaguars D.
Credit Westwood 1. I mean, there are offenses that don't fire, and then there's that. But they weren't done. They had a 10-play drive that covered 22 yards and ended in a punt. I didn't even know that was possible. But then they did it again. An 11-play drive that covered 28 yards and ended in a punt. Just to prove that that one horrible drive was not a fluke. It was so bad that at one point, Titans backup Ryan Tannehill reached for his helmet. Because that's what that game needed. Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill throwing on his helmet to potentially enter the game and hit a struggling offense with the paddles might be the most Thursday night thing ever.
Struggling.
What the hell happened to the Titans last night? Like, I'm old enough to remember when they beat Cleveland in Cleveland by 30. That was the season opener. That was 12 days ago. And there they were last night, literally tripping all over themselves on Thursday Night Football. That's what TNF does to you. It's like a vortex where good teams and good players seem to forget how to play football. Where good teams and good players look like they've never played football. Where good coaches look like they've never even seen the game. That's Thursday night. It doesn't matter who you put out there. It's going to be bad. You can put out the 62 Packers, make them play the 85 Bears. If they're playing on Thursday night, it's going to be raining. There's going to be penalties. It's going to be horrible, and it's going to be unwatchable. And this is no one-off now. This is a pattern which repeats itself week after week after week. And every single week I promise myself, I will never do it again. Every single week I tell myself, always remember, never forget. Yeah, well, this time I'm not going to forget. I'll remember that horrific feeling, that horrific night. You know what it's like? It's like drinking. It's like drinking. You go on a crazy bender. You wake up the next morning. You're hung terribly. You swear you will never, ever drink again. Until a few days later, when you feel great and you forget how horrible it was, and you're slamming shots. Happens to us all. Except that's not what this is. I'm not getting chumped. I'm not going back. Ever. For any reason. Punk me once, shame on you. Punk me hundreds of times every Thursday, shame on me. And I'm no sucker. This is a sucker-free zone. And I just got my Thursday nights back, and it feels good. I think, in fact, the only person who might have had a worse Thursday than me was Nick Foles. Because classy Nick Foles had to stand in the rain and watch that horrible game. And as one drunk old bag once told us, watch somebody steal the show and maybe his gig.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Yeah, well, the Jags might have a newcomer come in and steal the show. Not sure about that beach house or where it is. Kind of by the beach, a few blocks away from the beach. Not really a beach house. It's beach adjacent. Lighten up. They may have had the best draft. Look who's here. Happy Friday. The flight deck. What's up, deck? Can I get a decky yeah for the flight deck? Can I get a decky yeah?
Yeah!
Not only for Justin Verlander being back on the program, but moving up in the program. He's been moved up to the 1020 spot. So, hour number two, we go back-to-back, meaning you should call right now. Dear Jim, how dare you? Thursday Night Football does not suck. Regards, the ESPY Awards. Drew in West LA. Good job, Drew. I know I don't say that very often, Drew. Good job, Drew. Rome, last night's game was really exciting. Sign people who point at hot air balloons. Hot air balloons. Stephen PHX, Ward Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota being can't miss quarterbacks, according to the experts. You never know, right?
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Hate to say it, but you see Gardner Minshew, and he shows up, and he's out playing Mariota. Hate to say that, but that was true. In fact, he outplayed a lot of guys last night. Dear Van Smack, I'm surprised we weren't called for holding last night. Signed, Matt and Tyler, watching The Sixth Sense. Casey, New Hampshire. His subject is holding Myler. Jimothy, can I get a deck of yeah? Holy deflated balls. Am I glad football is back? Can we agree? Minshew is the hero we didn't know we needed until now. Grab a clipboard, Foles, and park it. War me popping out little savage Minshews? McCaffrey can kick rocks. War Lady Clones. Look
War
at
Lady
Case
Clones.
Savage. Holy crap, Caitlin. Do you know what her subject is? On that email, put his babies in me. Oh, okay, Savage. Living up to her name. Hey, Caitlin, he may be coming to an adult website near you. That takes coming up a little bit later on. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Case Savage in Texas. Loving her some Minshew. Saying that McCaffrey can kick rocks. Deion Jones next hour. Justin Verlander next hour. Other things today, aside from how horrible TNF was, I also want to talk about how horrible TomBrady.TNF was. It's Friday. I'm going off the board. And before I go off the board, keep this in mind. This is not a family program. This is a program for adults. I know sometimes you're driving around with kids in the car. I'm going to wait a little bit longer before I get to it, but keep that in mind when I get to the Minshew take. An adult website would like to do business with him. I mean, obviously, that's just a crazy pub grab, but there's more to it than that. And I'll have that for you, too. 1-800-636-8686. Clones. What do we want when we are craving protein or we need more energy? Not a protein bar. Not some sugary snack. Not some energy drink. We want beef. Pure and simple. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. So what makes it so good? How is it so good? It is because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever. So look for it. In the clear view bag, you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
As always, there are multiple shows going on while the big show is going on. And the other shows that you do not know about, or that you know about but you can't hear or see, are so much better than the show that's on the air. And I don't say that, so I bring that up without having a solution. Well, I don't have a solution. I'm aware of it. I'm aware that the show that we're doing off the air, while we're doing the show on the air, is better than the show that's on the air. And I'm trying to find a way to bridge these two things. Except I want to stay on the air, so I don't. You follow me? Alvy, you see me working. Time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Listen later on. I might answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Deion Jones, top of the hour. Justin Verlander has moved to the second spot in hour number two. Matt Olson in the third hour. You've got Utah and USC tonight. Wisconsin and Michigan tomorrow. Who do you like? Why? Had a horrible game last night. Tom Brady even weighed in. That's how horrible that was. I got to admit, when I first saw that tweet, I'm like, man, first of all, that's not him. That's not him. That guy would not tweet that. And then when I saw the blue verified check, I thought to myself, all right, somebody hacked his account because there's no way that guy's going there. But then he did it again. That's coming up in a minute. However, when a former Smack-Off champ calls, not only does he go right to the front of the line, but I will put aside what it was I wanted to talk about. Because if you have game, there are privileges. If you have game, there are benefits. If you have game, you don't wait. Mark in Hollywood. Yo, brother, what's up?
Jim, what up, Clay? I'm doing good. First off, I want to say belated congrats to Jake on becoming a fellow Big Tenner, even though he's attending what we call the man boob of the conference. But, yo, I'm super bummed that you're not going to be attending Saturday's game against Michigan just because you're depriving a national audience of the inevitable spectacle when Harbaugh sees you in the stands, pulls his khakis up to his belly button, and rushes in like Ron Artest to throw hands with you while you're just peacefully trying to eat your KFC donut chicken sandwich, which is known in Madison as finger food on Wisconsin. But no, seriously, I'd like to congratulate Garner Minshew on surviving the typical first 24 hours of instant fame. I mean, Jim, you know the drill when someone becomes an overnight sensation. Step one, gushing Twitter love. Step two, complimentary memes. Step three, digging up old tweets of rap lyrics that contain the N-word. And step four, my personal favorite, the resurfacing pictures of Halloween costumes where the newly famous person is wearing blackface. It's like clockwork. And my man Gardner shrugged off that sack like my man Beaks shrugs off his blood sugar level. And Brady and the hoodie shrug off any responsibility for their derelict, degenerate, criminally empowered teammates. You know, Jim, there's something you have to admire about Lord Sidious not giving an F about the league rules. We all know he colluded with Rosenhaus to snatch up Mr. No Means Yes as soon as he slithered his flatulent ass out of Oakland. That's why the hoodie ordered that adultering, cheating, fake chin Ken doll Brady to pull an A-Rod and say, if AB's looking for somewhere to crash, he can crash with me. Imagine the tabloids then. And as you said, Jim, they knew all about his legal issues before he got there. They just don't give a bleep. These are the same bags that spied on teams, that deflated balls, that harbored a killer who they told to get a stash house. They make out with their kids in public. Their owner uses slaves as a napkin. This is why it's so tasty that Brown sent those threatening texts yesterday, because now it's going to be taken out of their corrupt hands, and the NFL is going to sit this guy until formal charges are brought against him. And when AB's thrown into the same cell as Hernandez was in, which is now known in the prison as the Patriot Wing, let's just hope someone plays target practice with his back for a change. War the Patriot way. Oh, are we just not going to talk about IRA doing coke on Twitter? Late.
I can't talk about something I don't know, Mark. Are we just not going to talk about IRA doing coke on Twitter? I don't follow IRA. I didn't even know that IRA was on Twitter. Or that he was, quote, doing coke on Twitter. I don't know that that's true. So no, we're not going to talk about that. I don't talk about things I know nothing about. I don't talk about things that I'm not aware of. Or was that just a rhetorical question? Are we not going to talk about this? Well, to answer it, literally, no, we're not going to talk about that because I don't know if it's true or not, here or there. And Mark in Hollywood looking to shake things up a little bit. My man, you stepped all over that line several times. Now, understand, it is my show. My name is on the marquee. Ultimately, whatever happens on the show is my responsibility. But, Alvin, you do have that hammer. You can use it anytime you want. If you're watching the simulcast right now on CBS Sports Network, what you see in front of me is this. My laptop. A big white desk. My phone to my right. Bunch of liners and spots to my left. You see a few things. What you don't see is a hammer. What you don't see is a button. Well, I've got a console, but I don't have that button. Alvin is the only one with that button. Somehow, someway, Mark, you got through that phone call. I'm not sure how. Alvin knows. Dude, how did he get through that phone call? What do you have to say for yourself, young man?
No.
Yeah, yes. I know you won a state championship by running the point. I know you were ball dominant. I know all that. I've seen the YouTube clips, Alvin. How did that guy get through that call?
Glass houses, man.
What do you mean glass houses? When have I ever said anything like that? All right, still ahead. Hey, that thing looks like a Christmas tree, yo. The phone bank is lit.
Yo.
Are any of you good enough to get on the air?
I know
you can call. Are you good enough to get on the air? Speaking of, it's lit. He's chasing hard. We're looking for guest number 100 on the Jim Rome podcast. We are bearing down on that. Tillman Fertitta is live right now on Ep 96. I meant to talk about it yesterday. I'll try and get that in today. He talked about how things change quickly and people become famous. Mark did. He left out the part about Caitlin saying, quote, put his babies in me. Caitlin. It's a little saucy, isn't it, Kate? All right, we are coming right back. Phone lines are open. Deion Jones next hour. Justin Verlander next hour. Matt Olson in the third hour. Tom Brady. Tom Brady turned off last night's game. He tweeted as much. I want to get to that. Gardner Minshew getting a lot of run. Some good, some that he probably doesn't need. That's coming up. And more. First up, though, busy Friday. Here is the latest sports update for you. Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So Sunday, it's an NFL and CBS doubleheader first. You've got Mahomes and the Chiefs opening up their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I want to reiterate, man, that is a great matchup. Great matchup. Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. It's a full day of football starting with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today on CBS. I like both those games a lot. Normally, if you're the Saints and you lose your Hall of Fame quarterback, that's a reason to freak out and trip. But again, there's a reason why Teddy Bridgewater is there, a reason why they brought him in, a reason why he stayed there. Remember, before he got hurt, he was the next big thing. Also, you've got a head coach in Sean Payton who can scheme up. You've got alleged masterminds, no names mentioned, Adam Gase. You have alleged masterminds, and then you have actual masterminds, like Sean Payton. And this is where that shows up. This is where you need that. So I love those games. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so before I go to this call, again, I don't root. I don't play favorites. I got to admit, there's kind of a place in my heart for this guy. John in New York is all about the show. He's all about me. He's all about the show. Before we take the call, Alvin, see if you have any sound. My man has got my back. My man has shown up in public places with signage. You know, much like back in the day when I was all about, I don't play favorites, but I have to admit, over the years, I've had a couple of favorite athletes, guys that I love having on the show, guys that I loved talking to. One of my first favorite guys, and it actually helped kind of form the way I saw things and the way I approached it, was Terrell Buckley. You Packer fans never understood T-Buck, never understood how much I liked this guy. So way back in the day when I was constantly on the air hyping up Terrell Buckley, hyping him up, his game, his swag, his personality, one of you clones came upon him, I think, on a golf course and said, T-Buck, yo, man, what's with Rome? Why is Rome always hyping you? And T-Buck said, and I quote, I don't know, man, he just loves me. I think that's like John. I don't know what it is about John in this show. I think the guy just loves me. Like, Alvin, give me an example. Give me a taste of John in New York.
Congrats on the Hall of Fame induction, Jim. The message from that guy in Milwaukee, the dude in Milwaukee, just shows how powerful the show is. And thanks for reaching back, Jim, and always trying to put all of us on. You're awesome. And I'm going to see you in New York on November 8th, hopefully. More on that in a sec.
See this guy. He loves me. He wants to come to my Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And actually, clones, a lot of you have asked about that. I think you can attend. You have to buy a ticket, though. They're expensive because that's how they fund the actual Hall of Fame. So you can attend, but the individual tickets and the tables are not cheap. Anyway, got to give this guy some love before I put him up. I want you to have the background. I want you to know who's calling. So that's him. We go now to New York. John in New York. How you doing, John?
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Jim, that interview that you did the other month with heavyweight champ Del Monte Wilder, that was like the best interview that I ever heard in my whole life, Jim. Jim, your interviews are the most awesome interviews in the history of radio, Jim. Jim, you're literally my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
Hey, Alvin.
Not a very good
You'll
car.
Run that guy, but you'll let Mark in Hollywood just do whatever he wants for as long as he wants. Adam, I'm glad your headphones are on. Leave them on. Adam, you told me that was John in New York. I knew within 1 second that was not John in New York. If I had known that was not John in New York, I would not have built John in New York to be the guy he was. Who was that?
After listening to it, it sounded a lot like Jeff in Southfield.
Oh, it sounded like Jeff in
Southfield.
Sounded
like Jeff, yeah.
You can't confirm that. You don't know exactly who it was.
I don't know exactly, but it definitely sounded like Jeff in Southfield, who we haven't heard from since
the
SmackDown.
Oh, I'll tell you who. Okay, so it sounded like Jeff in Southfield. I'll tell you who it didn't sound like. John in New York. So when that guy calls up, presumably he probably said like he did on the air, "Hey, Adam, this is John in New York. Put me on with Rome. I love him."
Thank you, Jim.
Did that guy sound to you like John in New York?
Yes. Sounds exactly like John in New York. Yes.
It did.
Same cadence, same content. It sounded a lot like John, and I always like hearing from John. New York is a great market, so we had to get John on.
Let me guess. He was on topic, in market, and you wanted to put him up.
All of the above.
Hawk, he sounded nothing like John in New York. Hey, dude, remember, you work for me, not for them. Let me repeat that. You work for me, not for them. Who scratches your check? Me. Tread lightly, Hawk.
That was like the best interview that I ever heard.
Take your headphones off, dope. Man, why are you... Don't disrespect a guy who respects the show as much as John in New York. Hey, John, my apologies. I'm really sorry that had to happen. Jeff in Southfield, come on, man. Dude, if you're going to take a run at somebody, why is it that guy? Come on, man.
You're literally my bestest friend.
The same Jeff in Southfield, Alvin, go back to his very first call. Jeff in Southfield was the rare clone and the rare caller that just exploded on the scene. I can count on one hand the number of times somebody has called this show a first time and made the kind of impression that guy did. I can count on one hand the number of times somebody's called this show for the first time and blew me away, like knocked me on my ass. Jeff in Southfield was a guy who did that.
Jim Fonzie is the first clone ever. He was a clone before you were even born. Think about it, clones. The character Fonzie on Happy Days was an adult male, aged somewhere between 30 and 45, not married, no kids, and living in the spare bedroom of a suburban family's home. Now that's a clone if ever there was one, Jim. I wonder if Fonzie's full name was Arthur Caleb Fonzarelli. Jim, while my respect for the Fonz as a clone has skyrocketed, my respect for the notion of the TV character Fonzie as a ladies' man has plummeted. No wonder he never got a second date with Pinky Tuscadero. Turns out his hopes of scoring with her got Malachi crunched between two realities. He doesn't have one, he doesn't have enough money to take her anywhere better than Arnold's, and two, the bed he wanted to take her to is in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house. You know, that elbow in the jukebox trick is a lot less cool when the song that drops is Beck's Soy Un Perdedor. But that's what you get when you hang with Ralph and Patsy. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. In the time of Happy Days, Lunch with the Monkey. Okay, enough of that. Jim, I don't want to blow the best first call in jungle history by going too long, so I'll leave you now with a quote from Keith Richards. After all is said and done, got to move while it's still fun. Better walk before I get run. Bam, 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 bam.
You see what I'm saying? During that call, half the time I was just absolutely busting up, and half the time I was asking myself, what the hell is this? Not even who the hell is this. What the hell is this? What is this? What's going on? So, John, check that. Jeff. Jeff, when I think of you, that's what I think of. Not some bad impersonation of some other caller, man. Do better. You are better. I know you're better. I'm not even going to tag that with, at least I thought so. I know you're better. I know that first call. It's got to be tough to live up to a call like that. Like, you'll never make a call that good ever again. But nobody can take that from you, man. That might have been the best ever first call to the show. You shouldn't be going after low-hanging fruit like John in New York. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, come on, man.
Thank you, Jim.
Some guy called up Hawk afterwards and said, "Hawk, I'm literally crying. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard." Hey, listen, I'm funny. I know funny. That was not funny. That was disappointing. Jeff in Southfield.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, Hawk, that really sounded like John in New York to you. Really? Hawk's like, "Ooh, yeah, somebody from New York. Oh, it's John. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Put him up." 1-800-636-8686. Last night's game, sucked. It just did. A blizzard of flags. Way too many flags. 15 in the first half. Any play that did not involve a flag flying felt like a miracle. It got so bad that if a couple of plays went by without a flag, I thought that maybe somebody had taken the refs out back. Did somebody take the refs out back? What happened? That's how bad that was. I was shocked when there wasn't a flag. There were so many penalties that somebody even hacked Tom Brady's Twitter account to post a complaint. Got that coming up a little bit later on. I need time to lay that out. Also, I mentioned Gardner Minshew. He was great last night. Guy looked tremendous. What a great draft pick that was. You know that rap on him coming out. Where did he play? How tall is he? He's not good enough. This guy looks plenty good enough. Made a number of big time throws. And because he made a number of big-time throws and he's got this swagger and this personality, there are lots of people showing interest in him. The thing I like best about this guy is his perspective. He understands. He understands that it's an opportunity that most thought he would never get, and now he has it, and he wants to make the most of it.
A lot of people never thought I'd get this opportunity, so now that I do have it, I got to make the most of it. So I'm super grateful for it, but I know, you know, through everything I've learned in my career, you know, the situation I'm in, I may only get one. So you got to make the most of it.
My man's already the best Jaguar quarterback in history. Not named Mark Brunell. So, he's getting in. And I love David Garrard, don't get me wrong. This is a big David Garrard house. David Garrard used to come on this show quite a bit. And there have been some other guys who could sling it a little bit. Just don't get that twisted, man. My man is that good, that fast. And I know the Pirate is not surprised. It is Friday. You know, on Fridays, I like to go off the board a little bit. Mix it up a little bit. Give you something I know you want me to talk about. Today is no different. Now, there's certain things you want me to talk about that I'll never talk about Friday or otherwise. But today I will give you something that you want. Now, if I always give you what you want, it's kind of like coaches. If coaches concern themselves with what's being said in the stands, they will soon be sitting in the stands. If I give you clones exactly what you want, I will soon be one of you clones. I can't do that. But every once in a while, I will. Let's go to Malibu. Don't get many phone calls from Malibu. Steve in Malibu. What's going on, Steve? How are you?
Hey, can you hear me, Ron?
Yeah, I can hear you, Steve. Can you hear me?
Barely, but that's good. Hey, I just switched it over, and I was listening to that, and I didn't really get it until you explained it. And I was sitting here, I'm in a parking garage, and I was laughing so hard that people were actually knocking on my window and asking me what I was laughing about. And they stuck their heads in to listen to it, and they just, some of them started crying laughing when you explained it.
Wait, so Steve, I'm to believe that there were other clones in a parking garage banging on your window and they knew the show and they understood, because if they didn't have that context, they wouldn't have laughed because it wasn't funny. If they had the context, they wouldn't have laughed because it wasn't funny. Don't come up in here and lie to me, Steve.
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop.
That's the biggest lie since my man Curtis said that he was saved from a message in a bottle. Except Curtis was. Nobody came knocking on your window and said, hey, what are you laughing at? What's so funny? And you didn't then say, hey, listen to this. You want funny? Check out this guy, Rome. Check out Rome. Listen to this guy in Rome show. Oh, man, that's hilarious. That didn't happen. Bro, you're not in Malibu, and that didn't happen. Deion Jones, Atlanta Falcons linebacker, joins me, and then Justin Verlander right after that. Top of hour number two coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned.
Thank you.